I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and it is 4:30 by my watch, 4:30 Eastern Time, the 16th of July, 2020. And I'm going to start the show with a clip by a fella named Joel Skousen. And Joel's hard to define. He was a fighter pilot in the Vietnam War, flew an F-4 Phantom. And he, through various circumstances, he's come to know very much about what's going on with China and with Russia. And it seems to coincide with some of the things I've learned from other people like Jeffrey Lindquist, who I think is the one that works for the Epic Times. So anyway, let's listen to this clip from the Alex Jones Show. This is hour three, starting at about 8 minutes and 30 seconds in. Joel Skousen.
Of the biggest perils Joel Skousen sees for the next 8 minutes, we're going to break. Joel, you have the floor. What do you want to hit first? What do you want to impart to the audience first?
Well, first of all, let's talk about Donald Trump. He does, with his instincts, see some things. He just reposted on Monday a tweet by another person saying that we're being lied to about the pandemic. And that means that Trump has good instincts about that. But he doesn't have the backup information. So the White House comes out and their spokesman, oh, no, there's no disagreement with Fauci. He's fine. They're undermining the president because the president doesn't have anyone around him to feed him the facts, that the tests are not accurate. And that's what's driving this agenda, is that everyone's testing positive. Well, the death rate is plummeting. So we know the tests aren't accurate. We know that the tests pick up all types of coronaviruses, not just COVID-19, and that anyone dying is because of chronic disease and immunodeficiency, virtually 100%. Nobody who's healthy dies or even really gets
So it doesn't
tests.
Matter if he takes control of the testing, because still they're going to engage in fraud.
Well, that's right. I don't know how you take control of the testing. The point is they falsified the test. They don't have a gold standard. A gold standard on a COVID-19 test would be a complete genetic breakdown, which would take a couple of weeks to do for every test. That's what it would take to actually determine, because there's so many refined little pieces of RNA. When you take a common piece of RNA that's about that's common in any coronavirus, and then you amplify it with a PCR test, you know, sure, you're going to have tons of false positives. But there's this needs to be outlawed. There needs to be Trump needs to say, you prove to this group of scientists that this test is valid and actually does pick up COVID-19 and only COVID-19, or we're going to stop the testing and we're going to, you know, declare this pandemic.
Well, let's stop there. That's exactly where I was going. I'm going to start over. You're perfectly right. What is the blueprint? You just said it. Trump says, I want you to scientifically prove your fraudulent test, it's been proven wrong, and that will shut them down. So give your advice right now, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, to President Trump.
Well, President Trump needs to shut down this phony testing by – he can't arbitrarily do it. He's got to have scientists, and there's plenty of them who say this test is not valid. And he needs to say, you prove that it's valid within, you know, 5, 10 days, or I'm declaring this pandemic over. And, you know, the great thing he could do, he's being too silent. You know, a tweet just isn't going to do it. He needs to come out and campaign very strongly that this is a phony pandemic. This has been done not only to destroy the American economy, but also to destroy my reelection chances by making everyone dissatisfied with the pandemic. And if he starts to come out and fight this, there are a tremendous amount of people who already suspect that this is baloney. People are resisting the mask mandate all over the United States. It's just totally unnecessary. The masks don't work. It's just hype, and people are getting tired of it. So Trump could become extremely popular.
No, I totally agree. If he tackles this and exposes a fraud and exposes Fauci, he will win. If he stays basically in the middle of this lukewarm, he's going to lose.
Exactly right, Alex. And he is staying middle because he's got advisors saying, oh, no, you can't contradict Dr. Fauci. By the way, in Italian means jaws, plural. Dr. Jaws is part of the deep state. He's making millions for his organization and himself personally. So is Bill Gates, formulating an RNA vaccine, which is going to be very dangerous. There's going to be a vaccine mandate eventually. That's one of the reasons.
It's so easy to destroy Fauci with the insider trading and the conflicts of interest. I mean, Trump's got him.
That's right. Now, he's going to get a lot of backlash from the news media, you know, talking about conspiracy theories. And they'll say, oh, all this has been debunked about Fauci. That's why he's got to have the facts. Trump, if he's wise, he better hire an advisor to know what's going on in the deep state who can get the facts for him, someone who can run and knows how to find the experts to get him the facts to back these things up. Because if they attack Trump in the media and he's got the facts to back him up, he can destroy them. But if they attack him and he doesn't have the facts to back up, then just say, oh, he's tweeting again, then it's going to be a problem for him. So, you know, there's a lot of other things going on. But right now, our biggest problem is going to be to reelect Donald Trump, not because Donald Trump has really changed much. He has slowed down the globalist agenda. He's given them fits just because he keeps changing his mind. But they want him out of the way. And I'll tell you, if Joe Biden gets in, we're going to have complete loss of free speech and gun rights. We're going to have the Green New Deal shut down.
Talk about that. What happens if Joe Biden gets in? What they're planning?
Well, Joe Biden is already talking about doing a climate change agenda. He's talking about doing anti-discrimination, increasing anti-discrimination laws. He's going to take Black Lives Matter. It's about Black Lives Matter. It's about shutting down your free speech and shutting down the free speech of CEOs and college professors everywhere. I mean, there's just a vendetta on if anyone even refuses to take a hostile point of view against Western culture. You're racist. They're just name-calling all over the place, and someone needs to really stop it. I mean, the censorship is incredible that's going on.
Well, that's it. I mean, Western Christian civilization is antithetical to the satanic New World Order. So it must be attacked. And all these CEOs think you capitulate, it goes away. No. You capitulate, it's the end. We need to stand for the cross, for Christ, for the West now. How do we do that?
You know, it's really hard when they have all of the levers of power tied up. I mean, they've got Google under their control, Amazon under their control. My book, Strategic Relocation, the fourth edition, just got taken down on July 3rd. On Amazon. They removed my listing. It was the only one up there. And they have refused to put it back up. They keep giving me excuses, you know, saying, oh, it didn't have this technical, and I changed that. It didn't have this, and I changed that. And finally they came out and said, we had to take it down without reason, and said, you can get it back up by removing all inventory. And what kind of an answer is that? They're just messing with me. It's like what happened to you years ago with YouTube, Alex. And of course,
well, they're attacking anything that's competent. They don't want competent information out there.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's a war of information, and they know that if people get the right information, most Americans are still good people. The violent Black Lives Matter minority.
Well, I know that was probably difficult for a lot of people to listen to. Because I know a lot of you have been listening to the Meyer contact reports about COVID-19 and how dangerous it is. I will not comment pro or con to either one of the people that you've been listening to, whether it's Joel Skousen or the Meyer contact reports. I'll let you make your own mind up where that's concerned. I guess time will tell. I am going to switch gears a little bit and jump into Contact Report 239. And this is where Billy and Ta have a conversation about makeup and things like that. And then after that, I think I'll jump into a little bit of the Might of Thoughts, and then we'll probably be good to go for today anyway. Billy says, thank you. With the next question, when women or men paint their faces, use lipsticks, paint their eyebrows, apply blush, etc., etc., for what reason is this done? And do the women also do this with you. Even though I have made no such findings, it could still be possible that with you, for example, hair is colored. I know this from Semyase, and also that eyes are colored with certain colors. And Ta says, with us, this has other reasons than for the earth peoples. Hair, for example, isn't simply dyed with ordinary dyes, as this is also the case with the eyes. Rather, it concerns medical ingredients which have very specific properties. Unfortunately, it also happens with us that people suffer from headaches or from sensitivity to light. These evils are prevented by the fact that in the case of susceptibility to headaches, the hair is treated with certain active ingredients which can be dyed, after which the hair then delivers the necessary active ingredients into the cerebral cortex. By what means no further headaches will appear for a long time, as long as the hair can still deliver the active ingredients. It behaves the same with the eyes, into which the substances that can be dyed are instilled, which reduce the sensitivity to light. By what means the ones afflicted with the evil become normal sighted. However, cosmetics and beautifying makeup, etc., are not usual with us among both sexes. When the earth people, however, put on makeup and use a variety of cosmetics, this is based solely on the reasons of psychological injury, mental aberration, and the like, as we have clearly and analytically fathomed in hundreds of thousands of earth people. A wrong desire to want to appear as more than what one actually is forms the main factor for all artificial beautification attempts, which in truth cause the exact opposite of what is desired and arouse disgust. Billy, we call this war paint. And it is actually disgusting, no matter whether only a little blush is applied on the lips or whether a full face application takes place. Ta, I also want to express something similar. Billy, then another question. In the future, may we use the space photos snapped by me and made them publicly accessible and make them publicly accessible? Ta, that should be omitted under all circumstances. I cannot give permission for this. Too many factors speak against the fact that the images should not be presented. Already, once before, we made the mistake of giving permission for publication, and it brought immense harm. The people and the times have not yet changed sufficiently. What we could allow those pictures to be published, that we could allow those pictures to be published either in small circles or in the large public. We must strictly insist that the remaining pictures are not used for any purposes. Quetzal destroyed all of your own pictures, like also the pictures of San Francisco. Only Guido is, according to our knowledge, still in possession of space pictures. Nevertheless, he may not utilize these under any circumstances. Otherwise, we would have to destroy these as well, which would cause us very much sorrow, because for a much later time, they will be of great utility, which Guido won't experience, however, because this will be long after his time. Billy, the next question. Actually, I wanted to ask Quetzal about this, but in one of the fact that he is not present now, which I had expected, I now ask you in your visit for maybe you can give me information. Almost 2 years now, I lost my revolver belt. before I then finally found it in a plastic bag hidden in my office, and indeed in porch furniture. The belt was completely rotten and full of grayish-white mold, just as though it had been used somewhere, where a leather destructive atmosphere prevailed. Do you perhaps know something about this? Did Quetzal perhaps mess around with it? Ta, the belt wasn't at its usual place? No, it wasn't, for otherwise I wouldn't have searched for it for 2 years. Ta, an unfortunate thing, because the belt shouldn't be damaged, and also should have been at its original place. Billy, so then Quetzal isn't the sly dog, but rather you? Both of us, Quetzal and I. Oh, no, Billy says. You're a nice pack of crooks to me. Aren't you ashamed, then, in your old age? Ta. We certainly didn't want to sadden you, and we also didn't want to cause you any harm. We figured that you would understand us, and that you'd even have your fun with it. Billy, understand and fun? Of course I understand, you elf. And I'm glad to hear that you packed your sense of adventure. But what have you done, then, if I may ask? Were you on a dinosaur hunt, and did you fire away at the poor little animals? Also, I'm missing 240 rounds of ammunition. At first I thought it was only 100, but in the meantime I carefully checked and determined that there are actually 240 rounds that are missing. And the cannon didn't even blast your ears off. After all, it was the 44 Magnum you had borrowed. You are truly my heroes. Hopefully, you at least really have had your fun with it. Ta says, of course you can be assured. It just came over us, and so we took your revolver and enough ammunition to set off for a few days to a world that is rather primitive, on which primeval animals still actually live, including dinosaurs. Quetzal and I ultimately wore your belt. Of course we wouldn't shoot at the animals, but we just scared them if they came too close to us. Much to our regret, I have to admit that we weren't prepared for the effect of the firing apparatus. So neither Quetzal nor I. Because the first shot, the same mishap happened to both of us. Billy, it was probably such that the gun flew out of your hand and on its own, right? Unfortunately, yes. Because with our weapons and work tools, we have no such problems. Do you mean that your weapons, etc., don't generate any recoil? Ta says, that's right. But at least it was fun for you. Was it, so to speak, a vacation getaway? We took our 4-day vacation for it. We took a 4-day vacation for it. A time that we will never forget. Quetzal and I, we can now understand your adventurous life and your sense of adventure. Nice, I'm happy for you. Maybe now you can here and there take a vacation of the same type and in the same manner. Ta, we've planned for that, yes. Billy, splendid. And you see, I told you that even old age doesn't keep one from crossing the line every now and then, from experiencing adventures and freaking out. But why in three devil's names, why did you hide my belt after your adventure in the porch furniture so that it could rot? The primitive atmosphere had added quite a bit to it. Jacobus needed 2 days to clean it and to bring it back in order. Ta, we thank him for his efforts, but it wasn't our intention to cause damage. And they go on just a little bit about apologizing and etc. I thought that was a very interesting little story. You know how the Meyer contact reports are. They're just astonishing. I think there's so much unusual and strange information in there. It's just so interesting. Page 52 of Macht der Gedanken, The Might of Thoughts, is going to talk about suffering and how it's related to our thinking. As a rule, suffering is always an effect of some form of wrong thinking if the suffering relates to negative, bad, or evil outcomes. In this form, incidents of suffering are indicators that the law of harmony is disregarded and broken, and that one is therefore not living according to the law of being, which is directed at progress, love, peace, knowledge, wisdom, joy, and true inner freedom. This law determines that the thoughts must be progressive and neutral positive equalized. You know, that's interesting. So there's the law of harmony and the law of being. I don't know if they're the same thing or if they have a subtle difference. In order to be integrated in this form, in a neutral, positive, equalized way into the law of causality, another law, indeed the law of cause and effect, precisely that law which determines that the might of the thoughts become effective in the form in which the thoughts are thought, tended, and nurtured. Tended, nurtured, you're repeating them, you're thinking about them, you're contemplating them. But the result of that is that suffering, which is produced by means of the thoughts, must again be purified, resolved, and indeed, once again by means of the thoughts, which, however, must be neutral, positive, equalized in the new form. This means that everything which is useless, wrong, unclean, must be burnt out and eliminated from the thoughts. Well, that's something to hold on to. That everything which is useless, wrong, and unclean must be burnt out and eliminated from the thoughts. So you've got to really identify in your own thinking those thoughts which are useless, wrong, and unclean. It is said that pure gold shimmeringly glistens, as does the vasen of the human being. It is pure, but before gold can shimmer and glisten in purity, all impurities must first be burnt out of it. So there must be a way for us to burn out the impurities with our consciousness somehow. And before the human being's vasen can be pure and luminous, it must also be cleansed of all impurity. But this purification happens by means of the thoughts which mightfully come to fruition and free the human being from his or her self-created suffering, which indeed, likewise, previously created with the thoughts, however, which were, however, the wrong kind. Self-created suffering is only ended when the human being, in his or her thoughts, is pure, enlightened, and neutral, positive, equalized, and his or her thoughts come to fruition in this form, through their might. So, and this is the part that I memorize, is as a rule, suffering is always an effect of some form of wrong thinking, if the suffering relates to negative, bad, or evil outcomes. So whenever you have suffering, and I've had to teach myself to do this, you have to go and you kind of have to blame yourself for your own suffering and look at your thoughts and find out what can be purified, what can be eliminated, what can be burnt out, what can be, what is useless, what is wrong, what is unclean in your thoughts. That takes a lot of self-cognition and self-reflection, because the suffering, incidents of suffering in the life, are indicators of the law of harmony is disregarded and broken, and that one is therefore not living according to the law of being. I've always thought of the law of harmony as neutral, positive, equalized thinking. But it probably, it also, part of that is true for the law of being as well as the law of harmony. The law of being, which is directed at progress, love, peace, knowledge, wisdom, joy, and true inner freedom. This law determines that the thoughts must be progressive and neutral positive equalized in order to be integrated in this form into a neutral positive equalized way into the law of causality. So you got the law of harmony, the law of being, the law of causality. You know, of course, your negative thoughts can cause bad circumstances. The neutral positive thoughts are the quote-unquote good thoughts, which produce the good circumstances. All self-created circumstances from which some form of suffering develops for the human being are, without exception, always the unavoidable product of one's own wrong thoughts and thereby one's own mental disharmony. Yeah, that's mental disharmony. That's something that you can feel, too. You know, you have those days or those times when you're thinking, you know, I'm not motivated. I feel tense. I can't seem to get the right attitude. My enthusiasm's kind of waned. I'm tense. I'm concerned about something that I might not be able to get right. Let's continue here. All self-created suffering from which some form of suffering, all self-created circumstances from which some form of suffering develops for the human being are, without exception, always the unavoidable product of one's own wrong thoughts, thereby one's own mental disharmony. In contrast to all self-created circumstances which bring the human being grace and enjoyment, love, joy, happiness, peace, freedom, harmony, and are the product of one's own neutral, positive, equalizedness and harmony. And in the same way, one's virtues, good character, equalized personality are the product of one's own thoughts and their might, as well as one's mental equalizedness, neutral, positive. That means you got, the way I look at it, I try to have as many good thoughts as I can because I know the negative ones come automatically. They seem to anyway. These are the effective criteria for right thinking. Not, however, material possessions and lower desires and habits which are willingly and easily followed, as well as vices and other asartungen, hardship, grief, suffering, and misery, and all asartungen, that means out of control, the good human nature. Are there criteria of wrong thinking, not lack of material possessions? For example, as the so very materialistically oriented human being erroneously believes, in the material sense, many human beings are prosperous, wealthy, or rich. However, in themselves, they are poor and miserable. So they have mental disharmony, right? They're rich, but they have mental disharmony. So it's like cancels out all their money. I mean, mental disharmony, I don't think you can be real happy, no matter what you have going on. A few are materially poor, however, in themselves they are rich, blessed, joyful, full of harmony, mental harmony, love and freedom. Others, again, are just as poor and miserable materially as they are in themselves. While others are rich with material possessions as they are in themselves, in their own vasen. Now, the vasen, we haven't really talked about too much, except, you know, a vasen is a living creature that has a free will, self-determination, a personality. But I think this word is even a little bit bigger than that. Maybe we'll have to do a word study on that. I'd also like to do a study on those laws and see if I can find them anywhere else. Well, we're out of time. That went quick. I think you'll find the show interesting. This has been Ohio Exopolitics, and we'll talk to you soon.